Hallelujah. Glad for each of you here today. Let's ask the Lord to bless the word of God to our hearts today. Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father, for your holy word. Thank you, Father, that you speak to our hearts as we're studying this day, Lord, yesterday and before, asking the Lord to give a message. And we just praise you for this, and we ask you to bless it to our hearts and help us to just enjoy the word of God this morning, realizing what Jesus has done for us. Glory to your holy name. As you can see, it's Jesus' love sent him to the cross. Jesus' love sent him to the cross. There's not one record of him saying, you know, I can't go, I can't do it, I can't, you know, I can't last. One place he says, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, he was a human being, but yet he was God. He knew the suffering he was going to suffer, and that's what he said there as he was praying to his Father. Let's turn today in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's a good thought. All of us need to realize how dead the human race was. Without Jesus Christ, they're dead. They don't have any life in God. But to know Jesus Christ means that life comes into our lives. The life of the Lord Jesus. He's here in our lives, in our bodies, even in our thoughts, in our brains. He's here with us right now. So notice, for the love of God constraineth us. In the original, that word means to hold us together. You go through a trial sometimes, you think, boy, I don't know how I'm going to make it through here. But you see, the love of Christ is all surrounding us and is in us, in our whole being. He is right here with us, in our brain, in our heart, we say, in our heart, our spiritual part. He holds us together. And I wrote above this in my Bible that we are the prisoner of love. You know what holds us together with God? His love. He loves us so much. Don't ever forget how much God loves us. I know the devil will try to tempt us sometimes and make us feel like we're not worthy. You're not. I'm not either. We're not worthy. But the Lord Jesus Christ lives in us, and that new life of Christ in us is worthy because Jesus died for us and we receive that salvation right into our lives. The love of Christ holds us together because we judge, or this is our opinion that we have come to, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were. Without God, we were dead in trespasses and sins, Paul says. But yes, Jesus came into our life, and now we are alive. We are alive, the scripture says, forevermore. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. In Romans, the fifth chapter, you don't need to look there, but in verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died as a substitute. We should have died. We should have been cast out, but our Lord was the substitute for us, and he bore it all. He bore everybody's sin. Can you imagine? He bore everyone that has ever been born in this earth. He bore their sin. Oh, hallelujah. His love causes us to accept his love. Because of that, we want to accept his love. Do you want to accept his love? Everyone here, I believe, has accepted the love of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to know how much he really loves us. He cares about us. No matter what the trial is, no matter what the thing is that the devil may throw up at us to try to defeat us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And notice that last phrase of that verse, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were all dead before Christ came into our life. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened. He's made us alive. That's what that word means. Who were dead in trespasses, in offenses, and Greek meaning side slips. You've made side slips, and so have I. We have an old nature, and oftentimes we don't fully follow what God wants us to be. But he died for our transgressions, all of our sins and offenses. And it says there that he quickened us. The word quickened means that he made us alive. He gave us life. You and I are alive unto God. We have a new life within us. It's the Son of God. His life is in us. Do you believe that? His life is in us. Therefore, we are the children of the living God. We have all rights. We are children of God. We have all kinds of spiritual rights because we are the children of God. It's so important for us to believe that. Glory to God. Now also, in Colossians 2:13, this is what it says. And you being dead in your sins, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. That does not mean that only the ones before you got saved. Since you have been saved, you no doubt have done some trespasses. We're all human beings. We make mistakes. But the Lord has made complete deliverance from all trespasses in our lives. Hallelujah. He is our Savior, and we are saved eternally. We are saved eternally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he tell the truth? Yes, he did. He told the truth. Hallelujah. Isn't that a precious thought? Now, right here in our text, 2 Corinthians 5, let's read verse 15. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He died for all. There was a reason. He wanted to have the believers come to him and be part of his body, part of the church, part of the yieldedness to him. He wanted that from the believers that would come. Notice that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves. You know, that's a trick of the enemy, that he tries to get us to walk in our flesh and satisfy our old fleshly nature. This is the trick of the enemy. But the Lord wants us not to live to ourselves, but live for God. Yield our lives, this body. Paul said that our body is like a vessel that we have, that we are to give our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. That's Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's what God could expect from all that he has done for us, by dying for us, providing all that he does for us. I know that every one of us, if we think back in our lives, we can see God's hand, how he delivered us through so many different things in our lives. He did that for me when I was just a child. My parents, my dad was a minister, and I've told you this, was a grace minister. But he left my mother when I was 11 years old. And I would lay in my bed and I would cry to the Lord because I was filled with the Spirit when I was 8 years old. So, you know, I knew the Lord, and I'd lay there and I'd pray. And one day the Lord gave me the scripture, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, that was such comfort to me. I looked it up in my Bible because I wanted to claim that verse as my life. And it was so precious. I don't care what kind of thing that we go through in life. The Lord is there to give us that comfort and to help us. Praise the name of Jesus. And he was so with us. My parents never got back together. But praise the Lord, God gave my mother deliverance. He gave her peace. And wonderful. Thank the Lord. Later after that, my mother went to Bible school in Kansas City and took us up there. That was, oh wow, that was a wonderful thing. I was 13 then, and there was this great big youth group there. See how God provides for us? We need him. We've got to have him. And oh, how I praise him. Hallelujah. He loves us so much. So back there in that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. If we're walking around yielding, we're not yielding to God, but we're walking around, walking in our own flesh and trying to please ourselves, that isn't really pleasing to God. He wants us to have the attitude, I want to be in the will of God. I want to do what he asks me to do, and I want to follow his leading. And that is a big step to a lot of people, but I'm telling you, it's peace. It's peace. It's a wonderful peace to have the Lord just be there in our life all the time and just give us victory. And so he says, from now on, henceforth, he says, don't live to yourself. You know, that's what Satan tries to get believers to do, is to live for ourselves. You know, well, I got to do so-and-so because this pleases me. But what we need to do is to follow the Lord and please him. And unto him which died for them and rose again. Henceforth, he says, live. He says, not henceforth live unto yourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Live for Christ. Live for Christ every day. Seek him and let him be your all in all. He will never fail you. He will never fail you. He is so faithful to us. Glory to the Lord. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, that means from now on, wherefore, because of these things that I just read to you from the scripture, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now, what does it mean to know somebody after the flesh? It means that we know who they are in the natural sense. Maybe they're a man, maybe they're an older man, or they're a younger man, and they work in a certain place. And so he says, don't be involved with that kind of thing. Know Christ. Don't know others only after the flesh. But he says, that's how we knew Christ at one time. Apostle Paul knew Christ enough to go try to kill the Christians, which he did. Arrested them and killed the Christians, as before he knew Jesus as his Savior. So he says, don't be doing that. Yet henceforth know we him no more. We don't know him just after our flesh. Now you can ask people in the world, you could say maybe to them, do you know who Jesus is? And they might say, oh yeah, he's in the Bible. But do you know him as your Lord? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him who leads your life and guides your life? And they may say, well, no, I really don't believe in Jesus. I just know he's there written in the Bible. That's not knowing Jesus, is it? Knowing Jesus means that we're following the Word of God and we are following him in our life. We're walking with him. We're letting him be real in us. He comes in for us in needs in the night. when maybe the old devil has bothered us, we can't sleep well, and we just cry out to the Lord, and he's right there with us. He just is assurance to us. No matter what the test, no matter what the trial, he's right there. He's in us. That's what the Bible says, that he is in us. He is the one who is faithful. Glory to God. Let's read verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that word creature can be translated creation, a new creation. You see, that's what God did. He didn't just say, okay, mankind, all of you be good now. And when you get good enough, then I'm going to really bless you. That isn't the way that people are saved at all. It's not by being good. It's not by making all kinds of things, you know, statements to God. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to change. I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, all the things that people get caught up in. But it's by just letting the Lord come into our life. When we let Christ into our life, then he is in us. And he creates a new creation life in us. Do you believe that? You have Christ in you? You certainly do. Jesus Christ is in you. And he will never, the scripture says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Such a precious thing. And when we have this new life of Christ that's in us, then old things just pass away. All those old things of the flesh, that's what the Lord wants. He wants that new life of Christ to be dominant in our life. He wants that life to be what we go by. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus want? What does the scripture teach me? That's what he wants. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not in our, I want to make this clear, it's not in our gritting our teeth and saying, I will not do that again. I am going to change. That doesn't work. We have to cast ourselves upon the Lord because he died on the cross for us. He made all provision for us to be the children of God by our faith in him, just by believing him. He is in us, and he is working. He is trying to change us. He wants us to have faith in him. Believe. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All things have become new. Now, the devil's trick is to tell us a bunch of blab. He is. He'll tell us different stuff to try to discourage us. Do not be discouraged. He's a liar. If it comes out like that, it's a lie. And he is trying to discourage us. We are the children of the living God. He is faithful to us. He loves us more than anything. That's why he would come down here and become a human and die for our sin. He loves us so much. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Romans 8:1 is a really important verse. Would you turn there with me? Romans 8:1. Many of you probably know what it is. You might can quote it. It's a good thing to know how to quote this verse. This verse is an unusual verse, I'll just tell you to begin with, because the latter part of the verse was not really in the original text, but the humans that made the Bible decided they'd add another phrase because it almost sounded like God was saying something that they didn't believe, and that's why they added the last part. So I just marked a little mark right through there. God didn't do anything to me at all when I did that. Because these last words are not in the original Greek language. They put it there themselves. So notice what the verse says. There is therefore, That means because of what Paul said before, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and has redeemed us by his blood, and it's by faith that we receive all of this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If the devil is trying to condemn you, recognize who that is. The devil. The devil is condemning. He's make you think of how faulty you are. Why did you say that? Why did you do that? Don't you know that God doesn't like that? You know, that's the devil. He's always trying to defeat us. But praise the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation. That word is interesting. It means to free from the verdict announced. The Lord has freed us from the verdict of death. Sin brings death. But we are born again. We have a new life. We have a new life. We have the Lord Jesus Christ is right inside of us. His life is right here. Praise the Lord. So because we are the children of the living God, we don't have condemnation. Another verse I'm going to quote to you. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of him. Of him. Who's him? God the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's of him that we are in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has made to us. He's not just for us to think about as a human being. They portray him in so many different ways. It would be hard for us to pick out the one we thought was really the one. They try to do it, don't they? Some of them make him with blonde hair, and some of them make him with black hair and brown hair, different kinds of things. But who is he? He is God, and he has made unto us wisdom. In other words, if we trust in him, we're going to have wisdom. We're going to have righteousness. We're going to have sanctification. That means we're going to be set apart unto God. That word means that. And redemption means that he paid the price. That's what redemption means. Somebody had to pay the price. And the problem with a lot of people today is they think they've got to do it. And so they don't really crawl out to the Lord to save them. They try to get better. They try to do good things, do good deeds, give money to the poor, go take groceries to the neighbor, all those different things. Now, those are wonderful things, and I really appreciate people that will do that. I've tried to do that myself if there's a need. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Triumph. God does that for us because we are his children. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. So, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, go back there if you're away from it. This verse right here tells us how sinful was the sin that Jesus became. How sinful was the sin Jesus, remember what happened there on the cross when Jesus was there? He said, it is finished. The work of the cross, the carrying of the sin, the Father turning his back on him, the sun was darkened, and there was a great earthquake when Jesus died on that cross. In John 19:30, it says, Jesus said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and died. Oh, praise the Lord. He didn't say, well, I've got part of it built now. And so if these people down here in the earth start doing good works and they start doing a lot of nice things, then we will accept them. He finished the work. He finished the work. The work is done. What our part is to receive what God has done. He has delivered us. The devil is a liar when he tells us that we're not delivered. We are delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of the cross, the carrying of the sin, the Father turning back on him, the sun darkened, and the great earthquake. Oh, that earthquake ripped that inner beautiful drape there in the Holy of Holies that shut off the Holy of Holies. It tore it from the top to the bottom. What was God saying? He was saying, no longer do you have to bring blood, and only the high priest come in here and put the blood once every year. The blood is shed. My son has poured it out on the ground. He has made salvation for us. Salvation is more than just that initial believing Christ and receiving him as our Savior. It's all through our life. Not that we're resaved. We are delivered constantly in our life, in our trials, in our tests. Everything that we go through in life, the Lord is there. He's so faithful. He loves us so much. His love never ends. Praise the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him, which speaking of Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now, it's not talking about us that know no sin. It's talking about him. He did not know sin. He was the righteous, holy Son of God. And yet God made him to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. You and I have righteousness given to us. It's the life of Christ in us. The life of Christ in us. In Hebrews 9:28, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Once offered. That was enough. That made salvation for every person who would believe. Praise the Lord. He bore the sins of many. And that means he picked it up and carried it in the Greek. That's what that word means. He picked up sin and he carried that sin there and suffered as a sinner. Right along with those two men on the other crosses, they broke their legs, but Jesus was dead. He had given his life already, so they didn't break his legs because the scripture had promised and said that he would not be broken anywhere. Oh, the payment for each and every one in the whole wide world and anyone born into this world was completely met by Christ. Completely met by Christ.